Thank you for joining us for First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood's weekly podcast, presented by Dr. Joey McDonald.
The scripture reading for today is the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. Chapters 42 through 53 of the book of Isaiah contain four servant songs. The servant is God's agent to do God's work in the world. Now, according to some sources, the servant is Israel, but I'm not enough of a scholar to get into that. So today we're reading about the first servant song. In chapter 42, verses 1 through 4, introduce the servant who has been chosen by the Lord and is invested with the Lord's Spirit to bring justice to the nations. In verses 5 through 9, the Lord states the servant's mission and assures the servant of his support. This then is Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 9, and I'll be reading from the Modern English Version. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth justice to the nations. He shall not cry out, nor lift up his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, and the smoking flax he shall not quench. He shall bring forth justice faithfully. He shall not be disheartened, nor be discouraged, until he has set justice in the earth, and the coastland shall wait for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes out of it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand and will keep you and appoint you for a covenant of the people, for a light of the nations, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and those who sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name. And my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to graven images. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. May the Lord bless to our use through Joey's message this reading of his holy word.
Pray with me if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe, come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. As Bill has shared, this is from 2 Isaiah, which simply means that scholars can surmise by looking at the writing. Sometimes it's the names they use for God, and sometimes it's the literary style, which tell biblical scholars that we have more than one author. Some scholars believe there's as many as five authors to the book of Isaiah. The other element is some of the servant songs, of which there are four, are called suffering servant songs, and they're believed to be foretelling the way and work and wonder of Jesus. So the text here is sharing a new view. The $2 word is eschatology, and eschatology has to do with the time and realm of God, meaning they people in early biblical times believed, A, there would be a Messiah, and B, when after Jesus's execution, that he would return. This is a Jewish testament, but it is essential for understanding what would become the Christian testament. So in this text, religious personality is described. This is my servant. Well, there's a difference between being a servant and being servile. Just they come in pretty close succession in the dictionary. A servant is somebody who's a full-time employee. We think of them, and they now are even unionized. The Service Employees Union is a Teamsters organization, still vastly underpaid, but that's a whole other political statement. To be servile is to be unduly a aligned with someone. We do this in religious terms. It would be somebody who's a member of a cult, who cannot see beyond the false claims of leadership. And in political terms, well, you can define that for yourselves. Thank you very much. So that's the question the text is talking about, the difference, the natural tension that exists between being a servant and being servile. Well, more than three decades ago, I was in a fairly fancy restaurant, and the person I was with, when the wait staff came, said, do you have frog legs? And I had already seen them on the menu and kind of was creeped out by it, to be honest. But the waiter said, yes, we have frog legs. And without missing a beat, the person I was with said, good, hop in the kitchen and get me a cup of coffee. Wasn't funny then, and it's not funny now, because that's how we treat people. That's how we treat people. I won't tell you whether I laughed or not, but the point I'm getting at is, do you think about not only who you're serving, but how you're serving? Later, I made my first trip to Tokyo. Sue was then a controller of a small international company and had business in Tokyo. And I went there and realized for the first time in my life that not all countries are like America. Wait staff in Japan are roundly insulted if you tip them. So much so that I tried to slip a tip in after Sue had told me that they do not accept tips, that the wait staff ran me down and gave me back the tip and told me that he was a professional and that it's an insult to tip them. But we in America have a sliding scale. Somewhere between 15 and 24% is the scale. If it comes on your credit card bill, it'll tell you. If you want to tip 15%, if you want to tip 18%, you want to tip 20%. This same style of tipping is true in Europe. About, I think 15 years ago, I made my first trip to Europe, and we were told very politely that wait staff, being a waiter in or a food service professional, is a honored profession in Europe. And you don't tip a percentage because the tip is included in the bill. And you can leave a few pennies, nickels, dimes in our terms. So what does it mean to serve? You think about that. We're all called to ministry. I'm an ordained minister. But the general ministry is what you are about. That's what this denomination is about. It's a servant ministry. What do you see as your service? How do you choose to serve? How important is it to you? That tension is still there. It doesn't mean we are doormats, and I'll come back to that. But we're not called to be servile, but called to serve. About a week ago, there was an appreciation for Tyrus Wong. Some of you may know that name. He was a visual effects artist who died at 106, who created the look for the Disney Film Corporation on Bambi. That was singularly at his hand. He never received real credit because he was what we would now call a casual employee. He wasn't a full-time employee, but he lived his life as an artist. He was a visual effects expert and got credit for Chinatown, and there are others, but I think that was his last big thing. He thought he was old and going to retire. But about, I want to say, maybe as much as 6 or 7 years ago, he was still creating art. He built these elaborate kites and flew them off the coast of Santa Monica beaches. And the LA Times did a big spread on this. And they mentioned nothing about his work for Disney, but just how this old guy was on the beach building these beautiful kites. The point for me, his life was a testimony and remains so to serving art. What a gift, what a blessing. John Berger died about 4 days ago, I think. It'll be 7 days tomorrow, last Monday. And Carolina Miranda of the LA Times wrote an appreciation of this artist, art historian, essayist, and I'd add critic, art critic. How he lighted her mind in the late 70s as she was a student. Because he was not just an artist and not just an observer of art and not just a critic of art, he saw the ways and means in which art is used to manipulate us. He talked about how advertisement is used to sell things, and it's usually based on sensuality, if not outright sexuality. In 1972, he won the Booker Prize, which is a prestigious art prize, for one of his novels, which was also published the same year. And he pledged to give half of the award to the Black Panther Party. I know some of you, I just lost you, because that incites thoughts and not all of them good. But hear why he chose and pledged to give half of the money to the Black Panthers. The award, the Booker Prize, came from a corporation that had direct historic roots to the African captivity out of the West Indies. In unkind words, the slave trade market. So that's why he pledged to give them. He lived to the age of 90. If you have the time and inclination, KPCC did a wonderful profile on his life and interviewed people who had been influenced, and there were many. I tell you, I didn't realize, I wasn't aware that I knew who he was until I read the articles and heard the stuff, but I had a history class as an undergrad that aired The Ways of Seeing, which was a four-part PBS issue in 1972. What these little stories are about, they're asking us whether we're servants or whether we're servile. This is about as political as I get, folks. Now more than ever, we are called to serve. Now more than ever, we are called to speak the truth to power, whatever that power is. Because to not speak truth to power means that we have become servile. In a modern vernacular, we have chosen to drink the Kool-Aid. We can't do that. We are called to serve. We are called to be the best and brightest hope for those who are on the margins, whether they're, I hate using the word homeless, because they aren't homeless, they are houseless. Think of it, they are houseless. They don't have a house. Their home is the streets. Whether it's those without houses, whether it's those who don't have adequate food or clothing or medical care. It's a long list. We're called to serve. I know we're called to serve one another. And I know that we have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But in the 21st century, there's going to be a fourth inalienable right, and that is a right to affordable health care. And if you don't believe it, come back and see me when you're old like me. Everybody needs adequate health care. I don't know about you, as painful as it moves me away from my comfort zone, I choose servanthood. When I was ordained, they said, as they laid hands on me, "Will you serve?" And I said, "Yes." But being a servant doesn't mean that I am called to be anybody's doormat. Dr. Jim Christopher is a psychologist. I assume he's still as feisty as he was almost 40 years ago. He had retired from the sheriff's department and got bored and went back and got a master's degree in counseling and began to teach a parent effectiveness training. I thought it was a good course then, and it probably still is. It wasn't as permissive as the quote-unquote helicopter parents who hover over their children, but it taught me the importance of relating to my children and relating to other people. But he had a wonderful phrase in all of his seminars, whether he was talking about how to communicate or how to raise your kids. He said, "You know, I'm a believer. I follow the teachings of Jesus, but I'm really clear that I'm not Jesus. And let me illustrate." He said, "You know, I'm not a massive physical specimen, but I will turn the cheek. If you hit me, I will turn my cheek. But don't do it a second time, because I'm clear that I'm not Jesus. I'll punch your lights out." And he said that in a kind way, but I never tested it. So what are you going to do? Do you want to serve? Do you want to be servile? The Bible has wonderful explanation in the story of Jesus. Jesus, to the end, was not the warrior that the people who were looking for the Messiah wanted. To the end, he was the person of peace, the person of forgiveness, the person of love. But I'm clear that I'm not close in that department. I don't know that I'm enough of Dr. Christopher, because I have disposable assets now, so I may let you strike me a second time. It's just a thought. Do you want to serve or not? So be it, and amen.